This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Hum Saram to our listeners. Welcome to Saturday News
1137.
Today we'll be hearing a talk given by Brother Arvind on the topic of how to achieve work-life balance, making the best of your profession. So before we hear that, let's have Ganesh Bhajan.
Feet of beloved Bhagwan. When we are young, when we are in our teenage years, when we understand some aspects of our mind, how the mind desires, how the mind wants things, and that is when we start becoming like an adult, right? Like we want independence. That is what we are, young adults. When we are young adults, we want our own independence. We just wish that we can also become adults so that we can have so much control, so much power, all that. At that point of time in our life, we have a lot of time, we have a lot of energy, but we don't have control because We don't have the finances. Whatever I may want or choose, I have to go and ask my mother or father, Dad, can I do this please? Mom, can I do this please? Because they have to finance us. And that is why possibly we want to become adults, because wait, let me earn my own money, then I'll be my own master. That's our plan. As we grow to a stage where we are earning sufficiently well, we reach the stage that most of us are in today, you know, as adults, where we have energy, we have money, but there's no time. That's why we want to learn about work-life balance. How do we balance? I don't have time at all. I want to do 100 things. I want to pursue my passion. I want to pursue my hobby. I want to travel. I want to do this. I want to do that. But there is no time at all. I have money. I have energy. No time. That's why we think, somehow let me do this. Let me earn well and that's it. After that, I'm going to rock and enjoy life. Post-retirement. And then we retire, we have money, we have time, no energy now. Oh, who will travel? Who will climb Mount Everest now? No, that was a childhood dream, it's okay. And then what do? We give talks to youth and tell them how important youth is. Youth is the greatest phase in life. So you see, what happens is in each of these three phases of life, we are looking enviously at the other phases in life. We are not able to enjoy or take full benefit of the stage of life that we are presently in. And even this scenario that I have presented is a positive case scenario, because many times it's not as if everybody follows this same path. It's not as if as children, everybody has time and energy. Children get struck with diseases, health problems, various things, because of which they may not have the energy or the strength to do things. People may not get good jobs. And therefore, it is not as if in the Middle Ages, everybody has money and energy but lacking in time. No. And it's not as if in old age, everybody has money and time but no energy. Many people don't have money, don't have time, don't have energy as well. So, even the case that I presented is a very, very positive case, you know, at least two of the three we are having. So, to start off with, I feel one powerful remedy for any problem, this has been my experience, for any problem that we have in life, a powerful remedy is gratitude. Gratitude for what we have. As I said, each of those three stages in life pass with us feeling envious of the other stages in life. While we forget that we have two out of three, we are looking at the one missing. The more time we spend on what is that one we are missing, as children we keep thinking of the money and power that we are missing. We forget to enjoy the time and energy that we have. As young adults and adults, we are so focused on the time that we are missing, that we forget to enjoy the energy and money that we have. And in old age, same thing. Instead of focusing on what we don't have, can we start focusing on what we have? I remember the words of Helen Keller. Helen Keller is a legend. She was born blind and she was born deaf. Just imagine, two out of the three sense organs are gone. Now, when you're born deaf, what happens is, you're unable to hear anything and therefore you can't learn language. Therefore, because she was deaf, she also could not speak. She was mute. She couldn't speak, she couldn't hear, she couldn't see. And yet, if you see the story of her life, it's so inspiring, because she actually spoke. There is, if I'm not wrong, a video on YouTube of Helen Keller actually speaking. She learned how to speak by feeling. Anne Sullivan, her teacher, first time taught her the first word, water, water, by making her touch water. Just imagine learning to speak by just feeling objects. This is an entire speech that Helen Keller has given later in her life.
It is not blindness or deafness that brings me my dust.
It is not blindness or deafness that bring me my darkest hours.
It is the attitude that I put meant in not being able to speak normally.
It is the acute disappointment in not being able to speak normally.
Why did I bring up Helen Keller? Because Helen Keller said, I don't have time to complain in my life. Because I don't have enough time to count my blessings. Wow! Helen Keller, without sight, without hearing, without the ability to speak, says that she doesn't have sufficient time to count her blessings. Then what about any one of us? How much we should count our blessings? I realize that when I'm complaining, I'm not happy. And I'm not happy because I'm focusing on what I don't have and what I don't like. It's not as if I don't have things in my life. It's not as if there are no things that I like in my life. Why am I not focusing on them? Why am I focusing on the negatives? So started my efforts to try to focus on the positives. The other thing is, as they say, you may not get to do what you like, but you can definitely like what you have to do. It reminds me of an incident, 1991. This is the experience of Dr. Safaya, who was the first and longest serving director of the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, the super speciality hospital at Bangalore. He had worked in the prestigious AIIMS, All India Institute of Medical Sciences, which is India's premier medical institution for research as well as for surgery. He was the director there and he came to serve Swami. You know, people who come to serve the Lord are from all categories in life. And here was the director of India's premier medical institution coming to serve Swami. And why was he coming? Because Swami had made a dramatic announcement during his previous birthday. Swami had just announced, out of the blue,
కనుక పల్లలి ఎందే ఇలాంటి పవిత్రమైన యొక్క శక్తిని అభివృద్ధి పరచాలని చెప్పిన సంకల్పించుకొని 100 కోట్ల వ్యయం చేత మన ప్రశాంతి నియమందు ఒక విధమైన వైద్యాలయం స్థాపించడానికి ప్రయత్నించాము. ఈ గుండె జబ్బు వస్తే కొన్ని లక్షలు వ్యయం చేసి అమెరికాలకు వెళుతున్నారు. వారిని చూసేటువంటి వారెవరు? పట్టణానికి వెళితే కలర్ నీళ్లైనా వాళ్ళ ముఖాలు కొట్టరు. అలాంటి దురవస్థను గుర్తించే మనము ఇక్కడ ఒక పెద్ద వైద్యాలయాన్ని నిర్మించాము. బైపాస్ సర్జరీ కానీ, లేక కిడ్నీ మార్చడం కానీ, లంగ్స్ ఆపరేషన్ చేయటం కానీ, బ్రెయిన్ ఆపరేషన్ చేయటం కానీ అన్నీ ఉచితంగానే. ప్రారంభోత్సవం కూడాను అప్పుడే నిర్ణయించుకుందాం. 91 నవంబర్ 22 ఇది ప్రారంభోత్సవం చేస్తాం.
నెక్స్ట్ ఇయర్ సేమ్ డే సేమ్ టైమ్ వి విల్ ఇనాగరేట్ ద హాస్పిటల్. వావ్, నాట్ ఓన్లీ డిడ్ స్వామి అనౌన్స్ ది హాస్పిటల్, స్వామి ఈవెన్ అనౌన్స్ ద ఇనాగరేషన్. విచ్ డే ఇట్ విల్ ఇనాగరేట్ ఇస్ ఇన్ 1 ఇయర్. బిల్డింగ్ అ సూపర్ స్పెషాలిటీ హాస్పిటల్ ఇన్ అ రిమోట్ విలేజ్, ఇట్ వాస్ నాట్ సో రిమోట్ బై దెన్, బట్ ఈవెన్ దెన్ ఇన్ అ విలేజ్ వితౌట్ ఎనీ ఇన్ఫ్రాస్ట్రక్చర్ టు సపోర్ట్ సచ్ అ హాస్పిటల్. Wow, it would need a miracle. Everybody who were not Swami's devotees thought Swami is crazy. It's not possible at all. Even the members of the trust, Central Trust, they were wondering how on earth will this happen? How can it happen? And nobody had the slightest clue. Where do we get the funds? Where do we manage all this? How will it happen? And it's at this point in time that Dr. Safaya also joined And he was also very, very worried. He was worried whether the hospital will get completed in time or not.
The hospital was to be inaugurated on 22nd. And so the 2 days before I came, I gave up and I fell down on my bed at about 12 o'clock in the night. I said I cannot go any further because the hospital will not be ready to be inaugurated and operations have to be done. The conditions are not sterile. Scientifically, we are not ready. So I have failed my master, I told my wife, and I started weeping in my bed.
Well, history shows that his worries were unfounded because 2 days later, a person no less than the Prime Minister of India, Shri P.V. Narasimha Rao, inaugurated the hospital. And on the very same day of inauguration, this is possibly unheard in the history of super speciality hospitals. On the same day of the inauguration of the hospital, 4 surgeries were performed successfully, and the next day, on the birthday, in his discourse, Bhagwan announced it, that 4 surgeries have been successfully done, and there was a thunderous applause. Now, why I told this story is because, just imagine what Dr. Safaya might have felt about work-life balance. He's working continuously on the end through the week, Saturday, Sunday, every time, and working till late in the night. He comes and collapses on the bed at home, and that time also he doesn't say to his wife, "What is this work here? I'm sick of it. What is this full time? I don't have a life at all. I don't have my personal life at all." He didn't say that. He brought his wife also into that and said, "I don't know how to complete this, how to get this done." Did he not have work-life balance? Don't we feel that we also want to be like Dr. Safaya? What is the difference then? The difference is very simple. Dr. Safaya knew that he is working for Swami. I am doing this for Swami. And there lies the secret of work-life balance. Can I do everything that I do as I am doing it for Swami? Trust me, dear brothers and sisters, this is what I tell myself when I go out to work. Because let's face it, there are only a very, 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 very small number of jobs that directly involves speaking about Swami or working in the, even when you're working in the trust. Yes, it is Satya Sai Trust, but you have to do accounts, you have to manage finances, you have to have human relations, you have to hire people, you have to fire people. You know, it's all what we call in quotes worldly jobs. It's about alignment in the heart. Suppose I'm doing a sales job. Let me consider that Swami has called me to the interview room, given me Pad Namaskar and said, "My dear child, my Bangaru, go, I want you to do this sales." How will I do it? Will I not do it the way Dr. Safaya worked and did at the hospital? Even if my boss there comes and tells, "Hey, you did a good job, you can go home." If in my heart I am not convinced I have done a good job, will I not say, "It's okay, I want to stay on and do some more"? The reverse also holds good. When I am doing something for Swami, I am doing it for Swami's happiness in my heart. And when I have put my 100%, I know I have put my 100%. Even if my boss comes and tells, "Your work sucks, you have not done a good job," in my heart I will tell, "I didn't do it for you. I have done it for my Swami." And believe me, brothers and sisters, you may not get immediately recognition. You may not get immediate promotion or a hike, and you may see others who are possibly lying or who are possibly not being sincere. You know, that also comes because of us being judgmental. But if we feel that also, don't worry. I always tell this to myself: Swami, you know what I am doing, right? That's enough for me. Because my Swami will protect me, my Swami will take care of me, my Swami will ensure that I get whatever I deserve. Yes. And whatever I'm getting is what I deserve. I can't get anything that I don't deserve. So why is there any frustration, worry or problem? Swami, you take care. I'm doing it for you. This is a wonderful solution that I got as an answer, which I try to put into practice. There is a story of the Dharma Vyada, of a monk who is sent to the Dharma Vyada. Vyada is a butcher, chops meat. Here is a monk, you know, the story goes that he is sitting and meditating under a tree. And when a bird drops, dropping, it's natural for the bird. The monk is so angered, he looks up at the bird in anger, and the bird is burnt to ashes. And the monk feels happy. He's like, wow, what power I've got. I burnt the bird to ashes. Then he goes, now he's having that ego, you know, he goes walking. He goes begging, but he's having that ego now. I can burn a bird with my sight. Bhavati Bhikshan Dehi, meaning, lady of the house, please give me some alms. But he tells it like a king demanding for his tax. And the lady says, sir, please wait. I'm serving my husband here. She doesn't know who I am. She doesn't know that I can burn a bird with my gaze. Bhavati Bhikshan Dehi. Oh, it's almost like, hey, lady of the house, you better come here. You don't know what I can do. I can burn down your house. The lady takes her time, serves her husband, comes walking out and tells, sir, please wait a little while. I'm here to serve you also. Don't get angry. I'm not a little bird that you can burn to ashes. And this monk is shocked. How does she know? What happened? He realizes that without doing any tapas, without doing any penance, this lady of the house staying at home, doing all worldly things, is more advanced than him. He immediately falls at her feet and tells her, be my guru. She says, no, I'm not fit to be guru. You go to my guru. He'll be your guru. Who's your guru? That butcher. Chopping meat. How can a butcher who does such terrible job be a guru? Look at this. Attitude. It's a very inspiring story. From our scriptures, which shows how we transform our work into worship by doing everything we do for God. Arjuna butchered millions of people, killed them, right, in the Kurukshetra battle. And the Lord was his sarathi, the Lord was his charioteer. We have our Sanatana sarathi. I feel very overwhelmed when I think of how Swami so lovingly guides the chariots for each one of us. Each one of us are fighting our own wars, our own battles. Based on our own karmas, based on our own destinies. And He custom makes a path for each one of us with all love. Swami, I'm so grateful. All that you have done, for all that you continue to do, with so much love, tenderly. You know, if we feel that life has been hard on us, let us remember that this is the best and most loving way Swami has given it to us. It would definitely have been harder, definitely have been much more difficult without His intervention. That is the loving Sanatana Sarathi that we have. Ever by our side. During the Mahabharata war, when a missile is shot, a Narayanastra is shot, and Arjuna is sure to die, Krishna stands up and receives it in his chest. We don't realize that Swami does for that for us every time. He'll never allow anything to hit us, that which will destroy us. Because he is here as our Sarathi, he will guide us. We have to keep that in mind. Just accept whatever comes in life as the path through which he is taking us. We are just standing in the chariot. Let us remember he is guiding our chariot. So why worry about the path being taken? Let us do whatever we have to do as his task. Where then is the question of work-life balance? When my work itself becomes like my life, because I am doing it for Swami. It's a holy task that Swami has given me. I remember 2009 or 2010, we were all seated in the bhajan hall. And Swami was speaking about how each one of us is nothing but divine. And then I asked Swami, Swami, if I say that I am God, is that not ego? Swami looked at me lovingly and said, no, that is not ego. That is the correct satyam. That is the correct truth. But then, if you think that you are God and do all the nonsense that you want, everybody laughed. Everybody laughed when Swami said that. That is not right. Be in that awareness every moment, I am God. Will God do like this? No. Even if we can't be in the awareness that I am God always, can we be with the awareness that God is with us always? Whatever we do. And that is what Swami said next. Swami said, don't think that this is office work, this is housework, this is spiritual work, Swami's work. No. Whatever you do, you are there, right? And you are divine. So everything is divine work. Because you are the common factor, whether it's house, Swami, or office. What a beautiful message. A month back or 2 months back, when I was so upset about the same thing, work-life balance, this video pops up, my own video on YouTube. It pops up. I have uploaded it in my own channel. That's why I say Swami does all this so that I listen to what I speak. Let us not separate something as good work, bad work. No. Swami is with me. Swami is guiding the chariot of my life. Wherever he takes me, that is the divine path that I have to go on to. I think all our work-life balance problems will cease at that moment.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.